Our scripture today is John 3, verses 1 through 17, and you can either read it in the bulletin or on the screen. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from, nor where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born in the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" Then we move to verse 11. "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
We have signs on our doors calling us to remember. Originally, they were put on the doors as a reminder that Easter is a season and not just a day, that Easter is a lifestyle. It is a heartfelt way of living and seeing the world around us. Today, the call to remember takes on a different but still a deeply held meaning. For today, on Memorial Day weekend Sunday, we remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. We shall hear the best known verse of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Those words are so meaningful for this day. Memorial Day honors those who never came home, who gave. And I am sure that every veteran here will agree with what I am about to do. I ask everyone who is able to stand, please. And let us take a few moments to silently remember in our hearts those who never came home. Remember the too many families who have an empty place at their tables. Let us pray for them and celebrate them, because thanks to them, we are free to pray, free to worship, free to be who we are. Let us pray. Remember them, O Lord, and may we never forget them. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Didn't you love Audrey's best children's sermon ever? She had one line in there. You had one line in there. That was just superb. Do you want to be a worm or a butterfly? That really is what the passage of Nicodemus is all about. Do you want to be a sinner or a worm the rest of your life? Or do you want to be forgiven and rise up to serve in great ways, to be a butterfly? That's really the sermon, but of course, you know I'm not going to let you off that easy. As a teenager, I enjoyed making ceramics. Not the real fancy kind where you get a wheel and you spin it and you do all this and a ghost stands behind you and helps you. Oh, wait, that's a movie. I enjoyed the other kind where you pour the slip, the clay, into a mold, and you wait for it hardened so you have a shell, then you pour out the center that's still liquid, and then you very carefully separate the mold, and oh, you'd cut off the seam. There was always a seam where the molds were connected, so the real test was, can you shave off that seam without going too deep, and now you've got a little ditch along the edge of your vase or whatever you're making. Well, I was making a vase for my father's birthday. I had a brilliant idea, and so I got the molds for a small pitcher that had a small cup that came with it that sat upside down. Here's the vase. It just sat up there. I thought it'd be great for his office. So not only did I go to the trouble of getting all the clay and everything just right, that wasn't enough. It took me quite a few weeks, but around the lip of that cup, I carved in Greek, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now remember, my dad's a preacher too. He gonna like this. And it was in Greek. How impressive is that? I was doing everything right. Doing it all right. And it took me hours and hours. But, you see, I wanted my dad to know how much I loved him. What he meant to me and still to this day means to me. And every night I laid that cup in a box filled with newspaper cuttings. because it's nothing but dried clay. It's pretty fragile. I was being so careful. Well, finally the day came when the carving was, and I was ready to take it to be fired in a kiln that would turn it into glass. I wouldn't have to be nearly so careful with it after that. It was raining that day. Did y'all hear where their story is going? So when I got to the shop, I put that cup in my pocket because the box had no lid. And if it got wet, it'd just melt. So I put it in my pocket and I turned to get out of the car and it just ever so lightly tapped the frame of the car door and shattered into a million pieces. Now, have I mentioned that I spent hours and hours on this thing, going blind because the work was so meticulously detailed? But that was worth it. You know, some people say it's the thought that counts. Those people are idiots. Jesus did not tell the world, "I'm thinking about you, and really, isn't that all that matters?" No. Jesus said, "I love you." And he did something about it. He allowed his body to be broken, to be shattered on a cross to show his love. One of my favorite verses in the Bible isn't even a verse. It's only part of a verse. Jesus ate with sinners. To me, four words are filled with magnificent hope. It's one of the most hope-filled sayings we can hear, and yet we read over that part without even realizing how grand and glorious those words are. He ate with sinners. He entered their lives. He shared life with sinners. He laughed with them. He taught them. He healed them. He went to market with them. He attended weddings and funerals with them. Jesus was so involved in the lives of sinners because he loved them so much. That is the love that should consume us all. Picture this. I love the story of Nick at Night. So picture this. This is what was going on. A full moon, stars twinkling in the sky, and Nicodemus tiptoeing through the back alleys like a cat burglar to find Jesus. He's a Pharisee. He is a man of rules and regulations. But there is just something about Jesus, about his teaching, about his wonders, that Nicodemus cannot ignore. He can't shake it. We have to admire his dedication to the truth, even if it does mean playing hide and seek with the Savior. We've all known people, if we aren't those people, who have been there too. God keeps trying to chase us down and we keep hiding until finally that day comes where we say, "I give up, you caught me." Best day of our lives. playing hide and seek with God. In the pastor world, when God calls you and you keep saying no and you keep running and you keep playing hide and seek with God, we call that call waiting. Because God's going to get you. God's going to find you. And that night, Jesus drops the born-again bomb right in Nicodemus's lap. Born into new life of the Holy Spirit. Born from above. Born from God. Jesus filled Nicodemus with a great light in the darkest hours of the night. You see, that is the promises these verses hold for us, that God's love is always with us, but especially in the darkest nights of our lives. Born by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, Jesus wants us to be walking lighthouses, sharing always the loving embrace of God. You know, I have a pastor friend who is very fond of saying, "I don't want to miss salvation by 12 inches." And he'll hold his hand here, and he'll hold his hand here. And he'll say, there is a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Knowing isn't enough. It's not enough to have God here. We also have to have a heart full of God and God's love. It's mandatory for all to have it here. Do you want to be a worm? Or do you want to be a butterfly? Do you love others? What are you going to do about it? For God so loved the world, He gave. Amen.